It's Curious City,
where we take your questions
about Chicago and the region
and investigate,
report,
explore
from WBEZ.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen. Chicago has a long history with organized crime. Come on, it's the home of Al Capone. We have a number of gangster and mobster crime tours in the city, so when Curious City gets questions about this, we usually leave them alone because there's already so much out there. But this week, Curious City listener Matt Ebert brought us a question about how his own family fit into that history. After his cousin stumbled upon an old newspaper story about the family patriarch, Emmett Ebert.
Kind of like a mythical figure, sort of, which I feel like happens a lot when you don't know your grandparents. He died a few years before I was born.
Curious City's Justin Bull has that story.
Emmett Ebert once helped foil a robbery near Goose Island in which two robbers were killed, but he never talked about it.
No, not at all. My dad said he really didn't know about it until much later, I think after he died. It sounds like he didn't really tell my grandma too much about it either.
It was July 9th, 1951. Emmett worked for Brinks, the armored car company that moves big sums of money. He was making a pickup at a dairy company. His fellow guard, Julius Blanchard, was alone outside in the truck. Now, according to newspaper articles, Blanchard watched three robbers approach the truck carrying shotguns, each wearing butcher smocks. He immediately fired on them. One took cover, another's gun jammed. A hand-to-hand scuffle ensued, but Blanchard got the upper hand, firing twice and killing him. Blanchard turned on the truck's siren. Ebert heard it, ran back, and when they saw a remaining robber reach for his gun, both Ebert and Blanchard fired simultaneously, killing him. The third robber fled with the getaway driver. Matt's grandfather and the other guards were lauded as heroes. But Matt wanted to know about the robbers.
What really intrigued me was the name of the group, the Butcher Smock Gang.
The robbers, according to Chicago's then chief of detectives, were part of a gang that staged robberies wearing butcher smocks. So who were they? And did they have ties to organized crime? To answer this question, I reached out to local historians. The prevailing response was, never heard of them. Have you heard of the Butcher Smock Mob?
Until recently, no.
This is historian Rich Lindberg, author of Gangland Chicago and many other nonfiction accounts of Chicago gang history.
But for a very brief period in 1951, they were quite prominent. They held up several locations, but as quickly as they faded in, they faded out.
Here's what we know for sure. The two deceased robbers were Rocco Belcastro and Frank Piazza. Piazza had served time for his hand in the killing of a Chicago cop in 1931. He was reportedly part of a Prohibition-era gang of juveniles called the 42 Gang.
Yeah, adolescent gang, street gang, young kids, teenagers.
That's Robert Lombardo, historian and author of the book Organized Crime in Chicago. He says promising members of the 42 Gang would graduate into various adult gangs. The other gangster killed in the Brinks job was Rocco Belcastro, who had an even longer rap sheet. He spent time at Pontiac and Stateville prisons, and even Alcatraz. Importantly, witnesses ID'd Belcastro at a robbery 1 month earlier, in which at least one of the gunmen had on a long white coat, such as butchers wear.
Was this actually a gang, or was it just some guys wearing butcher smocks while they committed a crime?
My opinion is that they started out as a one-off.
Again, Rich Lindberg.
And they got away with it the first time. So they planned a bigger score the second time. And the butcher smock thing is just, I think, is just a gimmick that they used to disguise themselves.
Butcher smock-wearing bandits would appear in the local papers several more times in the decades afterwards.
They're copycats. These original butcher smock guys perhaps live on in memory and became neighborhood legends.
Whoever was pulling any of these crimes, Rich says if they made enough money, they had to pay the piper, even if they weren't directly affiliated with the larger crime syndicate.
If you were a lone wolf independent thief in Chicago and you have an idea of making a lot of money without paying your respects to organized crime, you weren't going to be long for the world.
So were these guys in butcher smocks a gang per se? Can't say for sure. But did they have ties to organized crime in Chicago? Well, in 1950, a Teamsters Union boss told the Tribune a pair of gangsters shook him down. He ID'd one of them as Rocco Belcastro. That's one of our original butcher smock guys.
The deciding factor, what makes something organized crime, is political corruption.
Again, here's historian Robert Lombardo. He says if someone was intimidating a union leader, that probably wasn't a one-off job, but an assignment from a mob boss.
You know, people fail to realize, but the outfit in Chicago was tightly integrated into the political structure.
The other guy on this assignment with Belcastro was a career criminal well known in mob circles. Historian Rich Lindbergh says that means even though the butcher smock guys weren't a famous gang, it's safe to conclude they were mob associates. Rich calls stories like the Brinks robbery scrapbook stories because they're remembered by some and forgotten by everybody else. And sure, people may have forgotten about the butcher smock gang, but the memory of Brinks guard Emmett Ebert lives on, especially for Matt, our question asker.
I'm incredibly proud of him. I think he was always one of those special people that was always kind of born to be a hero.
For Curious City, I'm Justin Bull.
Thanks to Justin Bull for reporting this week's story. So the Butcher Smock Mob isn't well known today, but at the time, they got a lot of news coverage. Way more than what a crime like that would get in our current media cycle. Historian Rich Lindbergh actually has something to say about that idea as well.
City news editors responsible for what gets covered and what doesn't get covered would not even bother to send reporters to African American neighborhoods. I think there is a racial component to it because white crime committed by white criminals is believed to be more sexy, more interesting, and the more bizarre the crime, the better.
In our next episode, we're going to revisit the story of another gang rivalry from decades ago that tended to fly under the radar. These were Chinese gangs in Chicago. Reporter Monica Ang digs into her family's past to bring us the story. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening.